Time now for the weekly book review program with Maulana Ashraf Dokrat. And this morning we are reviewing a book called Sufism. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A very important topic to cover, Maulana, Sufism.
Yes, Maulana, we've had, I think, many books on Tasawwuf, Sufism, Tazkiyatun Nafs. And each of them have approached the subject in their own way, and depending on the tariqah and depending on the type of influence on the author, we have a type of presentation or a type of revelation of exactly what Sufism is. Trying to define Sufism and Tasawwuf and to link it to the earliest times of Islam is always really the issue. Now, this book is somewhat different. This book, titled Sufism, The Living Tradition, Sufi Epistemology Encounters Modernity in the Tariqah of the Sufi Master, Abdul Qadir al-Sufi. This book, as we can see from the very title, has all these fancy and very, very difficult words. Epistemology, it speaks of rationalism, empiricism, right in the vocabulary of the introduction. And it would seem to be a dry academic text, but nothing could be further from the truth and an accurate description of this quite remarkable book. The author, Riyad Azwad, is from South Africa, and what he has done is that he has examined the teachings and work of a contemporary Sufi, Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Sufi, in conjunction with the intellectual history of the last 2,000 years. And the book tries to wed together the traditional understanding of existence propounded by the ancient world with some of the most cutting-edge perceptions of present-day scientific discourse, present-day philosophical discourse. And what it does, in a very good way, is that it shows how the modernist thesis, that is really modernity, has dominated intellectual thinking for the past 500 years. And it shows how modernity has provided a completely inadequate paradigm for satisfactorily understanding the nature of knowledge. And he tries to show very clearly that in terms of the two sources of knowledge that we use today, reason and sense perception, in other words, rationalism and empiricism, these are insufficient as to describe the true nature of knowledge. And therefore, we move towards Tasawwuf and Sufism for understanding and interpreting the meaning of reality. And we try to use, and it tries to show in this world, in this book, that institutions that developed around the values of Tasawwuf that speak about experience as a source of knowledge, experience that somebody has as a source of knowledge, developed values and formed the core of cultures and civilizations that growed to be based up on to be based on these beliefs, and therefore the beliefs that are inherent in Sufism and what we can call Sufi knowledge elucidate these beliefs. And they can actually then contribute to a return in the modern world to social cohesion, harmony, peace. And this knowledge is not something that is just somewhere in the air that we can just, theorize about, but it has its own theory, it has its own practice, and it has a very important contribution to make to the contemporary world. This conceptual framework that has been adopted by Sheikh Abdul Qadir in his study of modernity, postmodernism, the colonialism, all these different movements that have come out, his critique of these movements, his critique of the modern situation that we find ourselves in, the whole idea of Western philosophy and the Western philosophical tradition, and how some of the philosophers were right on the brink, so to say, of and right at the foot of understanding Islam in its purest way and the Islamic worldview of Tawheed and the understanding of the true nature of knowledge and the true nature of being or Dasein. And so this book, I think, provides an adequate paradigm for understanding the nature of knowledge, and the sheer breadth of the subject matter is quite astonishing. Dr. Riaz Aswad has brought together disciplines and subjects that are only examined normally in isolation. His definition of modernity, for example, his definition of the postmodern situation, his understanding of the situation in the world as it pertains today, and his fusion of that again was what we have in the Muslim tradition. He's able to shed a new light on some important concepts that have dominated Western thought since the after the Renaissance, and he really provides a fresh and a vibrant reassessment of these intellectual contributions and gives it expression from a Muslim point of view in the world in which we live. So I think in a sense this is an important work for scholars, certainly, but the work is accessible to any person who wants to understand our context and our learning and our knowledge and the knowledge that is being given to our young people at universities in the light and how Islam sees that.
Now, Maulana, early on you mentioned a very interesting thing, that many authors try to capture the genuine or the original way of the tasawwuf, tracing it back to the early Islam. Now, how do we know that the genuine one is portrayed in this book, Maulana?
Maulana, the author, the person who is speaking about, Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Sufi, claim that they are linked to the Shazili Tariqa, and we know they have a type of a link with the Shazili Tariqa from their people and the shuyukh that they've met, Ibn al-Habib of the Shazili Tariqa and others, that they've printed their works, they've tried to understand their sayings of other Sufis, etc. So I don't think we can really doubt that, you know. And in terms of their link to the Madhahib, their adherence to the Maliki school of jurisprudence, and their insistence on following the Madhahib, their strict Sunni position, I think is without doubt.
Now, Maulana, you mentioned also that the author is a local author from our country. Tell us more about him, and also Sheikh Abdul Qadir at the same time.
Maulana, Dr. Riyad Aswad is a lecturer in Islamic Studies at the University of Melbourne in Australia. He has several publications covering a wide variety of Islamic topics. He's written about the political philosophy of his Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Sufi. He's written on commercial transactions of the Sarraf, the money changers. And he's written on the concept, the economic concept of awqaf and nuqud, cash waqfs, in the Ottoman Caliphate. And he's written a book, Economic Justice and the Sharia in the Islamic State. He has presented at many conferences, and recently he presented at the Sidi Muhammad bin Abdullah University in Fez on the theme, the Maliki School of Jurisprudence and its Contemporary Manifestations. I think is a person who researches on Sufism, philosophy, economics, political science, sociology, Islamic law, and we have seen also Islamic trade and commerce. His Sheikh is a very interesting person, and for many of us who know the Sheikh, has a very checkered background. I mean, the reason why we are discussing this book is because probably Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Sufi provides the best critique of Western philosophical tradition that we have from a Muslim at this time. But not to say that the movement that he started when he first accepted Islam in the 60s and then came to stay in London in the 1970s, the Islamic sector center that he established in 1972 in Bristol Gardens in London, and then the movement that he started the World Murabitun Movement and their publications. You know, it's through them that we have Aisha Bewley and these people translating the Muwatta of Imam Malik, the letters of Sheikh Al-Qardawi, he his talks, his website, his commentary on several aspects of world politics. His political writings have been published, you know, under his previous name, Ian Dallas. And they are known for a few things. The one is their position on zakat. They regard zakat as the fallen pillar of Islam. They believe that it must be taken by an amir. It must be taken in gold and silver. It must be dispersed immediately. They have a very strong view about Sharia currency. And also, in some of their writings, they have a very important writings about what they consider the Amirat, the Sultaniyah, and the Khilafat. They've written about their insistence in the book Root Islamic Education. He writes about his insistence on Amal Ahlul Medina, the practice of the people of Medina, and they try to take a very important stance about Islamic trading and social welfare. In recent times, they've taken a strong stance against what they consider to be terrorism as well. As I said, you know, we might not agree with the ways of the tariqah, we might not agree with everybody, everything that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Asufi has said, or his center in Cape Town, the Jummah Masjid and Center in Cape Town, and the teachings there. But I don't think as scholars or as Muslims, we can at any point ignore the contribution and the critique that they offer about Western philosophy and the Western intellectual tradition, and the ability to link that to Sufism, as Riaz Azwat has done in this book, I think is commendable. You know.
Now, Marana, are you referring to the controversial Murabitun movement? Yeah.
Yes. Very much so, Marana.
Subhanallah. Okay, Marana. So, why should one read this book?
I think certainly it will clear out some very important beliefs and ideas, philosophical ideas that are dominant in the world today. When you go into any university setting, that university is a continuation of a model that is based on the Western philosophical tradition. When in South Africa, for example, today we have this whole thing about decolonizing knowledge. It is with this intent that, you know, we need to bring in the African philosophers. But for us as Muslims, we need to also ask ourselves, what is our reaction and how do we understand the concepts that have dominated the Western civilization, which is the dominant civilization today? How do we react to that and what is our response to that? And within that tradition, how do we see the important philosophers like Heidegger, like Nietzsche, like others? How do we understand their writings, and how do we contextualize what they have said, Goethe, etc., in terms of our own Islamic tradition?
Now, Malala, take us through some of the arguments of the book in terms of the paper money. Is it the same old rhetoric or is it something new?
No, Malala, this book, you know, what they say about paper money, and that we've dealt with in a previous review, that we looked at the book, The Esoteric Deviation, by one of the leading Murabitun scholars today, Umar Vadilo. In this book, the author sticks very much to the idea of epistemology. He looks at, firstly, starting off with the entire tariqah. He gives the sanad of the tariqah and explains how what the link of the Shazili tariqah is. And then he goes on to explain some Sufi concepts of bir, and he says bir at the level of the individual is called futuwa, bir at the level of the jama'ah, the community, and bir at the level of ummah, humanity. And in the second chapter, he looks at the Sufi epistemology, the sources of Sufi knowledge, the nafs, mulk, and ilmul aql, the ruh, malakut, and ilmul ahwal, the sir, fana, and baqa. And in the third chapter, he then moves toward the discussion of Sufi epistemology and cosmology, and looks at Sufi cosmology, and looks at aspects of tanzih and tashbih. So it is very serious type of Sufi readings, and he goes on to discuss the Al-Nafas Al-Rahmani and Wahdatul Wujud, etc. The fourth chapter then looks at a Sufi epistemology and the science of unveiling a new paradigm for the 21st century. Here he discusses the Imam and the Sultan of the Turuq of Sufia, and that is the teachings of Junayd al-Baghdadi, the importance of conformity with Sharia, the whole idea of Tarbiyah and the instruction of the Sheikh, Dhikr, the different Ahwal and conditions and the stations, the Maqamat. He looks at Khalwa, and he discusses the Ismul Azam as he does so. And then he moves on page 80 to a very important discussion of Sufism within its social and historical context, Sufi encounters with modernity, the colonial period, the neo-colonial period, secularism, and the influence of this particular tariqa on their Sheikh, Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Murabit. And in the fifth chapter, he looks at the Sufi deconstruction of modern science. What was the pre-modern worldview in Muslim society? The pre-modern worldview giving way then to modernism in European society, the epistemological foundation of the modern worldview, and the philosophy of social sciences, which he then links up to some of the writings of his own Sheikh. In the sixth chapter, he looks at how one can deconstruct modern philosophy, knowledge, and modern metaphysics, and discusses what Heidegger has written and the idea of the end of metaphysics. In the seventh chapter, he moves now from an Islamic philosophy to Sufism, and he said this is a move from the intellect to the presence, and he looks at the whole idea of knowledge by presence, and he looks at then ilmul huduri, the science of presence, and reflections on fana. He discusses ideas of praxis, himma, and muhabba. In the eighth chapter, he discusses the Sufi path of social cohesion, and he says it is important that we call things by their names. He looks at secularism, he provides a critique of political economy, democracy, oligarchy, and what he calls the new nomos. And in a pro-post phase then, he has a discussion on Sufi epistemology, the epistemologies of modernity, the search for new epistemologies, epistemology being the knowledge of knowledge, basically. And he looks at his own Sheikh's contribution to epistemology. Now, if there's one criticism of the book, I think that the book does not look at the later writings of Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Murabit and his later political writings, you know. And so that is one, I think, drawback of the book, because there's a lot that he has written recently about the modern condition. So the book is not up to date, certainly, but it provides a very, very good background.
Mm-hmm. Interesting indeed. Moran, your overall impressions before we let you go, and also the place where we can purchase this book and the price?
Moran, I think that, look, as we said before, the book has to be read. It has to be read carefully. It has to be read with an understanding of who the writer is, where they come from. But it is not something that we can ignore, and this is the important thing. The contribution that they make is certainly a extremely worthwhile contribution. I have never come across one Muslim writer who has brought all these disparate things together in a single book, and therefore I think it is necessary reading for all our university graduates, people who want to understand tasawwuf vis-a-vis the modern world that we're living in. The book will set you back about 250 rand. And is available at most good bookshops. It is also available in Lodium from ICRA agencies.
JazakAllah khair, Murana, much appreciated.
A pleasure, Murana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.